Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest runs a website called earlybirdrights.com. Jeff Siegel is the founder of that website, and he's joining us now. Jeff, what was the genesis of earlybirdrights.com?
It was a place for me to write all of my various musings that don't belong anywhere else or that other editors don't want. So it's just my own little baby that I can write whatever I want. The biggest draw for Early Bird Rights is that I post all of my cap sheets up over there. So if you're interested in salary cap stuff, any of the 30 teams, I have all of that information available on the website. So that was sort of the genesis of it. Now it's sort of grown into somewhere that I can just write kind of whatever I want.
I know you've done some work for Blazers Edge. I know that you write for Forbes and some other places, so people will be familiar with your work, but I love it that you found your passion. I mean, and I think sometimes when you see, like, Henry Abbott, when he started off with True Hoop, it was so clear that this was something he was really passionate about, and you could tell, all right, this guy's going to make it.
Yeah, I mean, the salary cap stuff, I'm trained as an accountant and a mathematician at university, and so it just sort of came together really well for me, and the, you know, breaking down the legal aspects of how things work, you know, combined with the numbers, it just sort of jumped into my head and never left. And so now I built out this whole workbook where everything's automated and everything's, you know, very easy for me to update. And it's a lot of fun for me. I realize that it's not a lot of fun for everybody else, or, you know, it's very complicated, but, you know, it's really fun for me to try to figure out the puzzle of how teams put their teams together.
Let's talk about the Blazers, because you're doing this 30 teams in 30 days series where you're sort of rolling everybody out. I was really interested in the Blazers offseason preview. What jumps out to you about the Blazers situation?
I mean, it's very similar to last year in that they don't have a whole lot of money to spend, and they're going to have to sort of add at the edges and try to figure out how they can, you know, what their budget looks like long term, what their budget looks like for this upcoming year. The Damian Lillard extension obviously is a big deal. That doesn't affect their 2019-20 books, but that's, you know, another expense for ownership and, you know, where ownership is going, whether Jody Allen is going to keep the team or they're going to sell it, what her appetite is for the payroll budget. Is she going to allow them to, you know, really jump into the tax like they have over the last couple of years, or does she want to, you know, cut that back a little bit? All of that stuff sort of is going to really inform how much money they have to spend this summer.
When you look at the position they're in this summer, is there anything, if you're making a long-term bet, if you're a Blazers fan or you're a front office guy and you're looking at this summer in particular, is there anything the Blazers can do this summer that would help them be a player in free agency 2 years from now, 3 years from now, as Lillard gets that supermax? Or are they kind of painted into a corner? How do you see that?
They're a little bit painted into a corner. I mean, the Myers-Leonard, Maurice Harkless, and Evan Turner contracts will expire after this year. But even still, they're not looking at a ton of cap space next summer. If they do anything, you know, to keep some of the guys who are already on the roster or sign somebody over this offseason who, you know, cuts into future spending, that's going to curtail that as well. They've got their draft pick as well for $2.2 million in 2020, 2021. So, like, they're really not looking at a ton of space until 2021. But then that's when Damian Lillard's supermax contract kicks in. Obviously, they're going to have a lot more sort of spending between now and then just to fill out the roster as these guys come off the roster. You know, Yusuf Nurkic, you would think, based on his play last year, his guarantee will be picked up that year. So that'll cut out a little bit of their available room. They'll have draft picks between now and then as well. So it's hard to project too far out into the future. But that Lillard supermax extension that'll kick in 2021, that will cut out a lot of the sort of maximum cap space that they can possibly have in 21. So they're, I mean, they're not totally painted into a corner yet, especially because, you know, Turner, Leonard, and Harkless will come off the books next year, but they're not looking to add another, you know, max free agent anytime soon.
Jeff Siegel is with us. His website is called earlybirdrights.com. You should check it out. Al-Farouq Aminu, the team postures like they want him back. He's saying he wants to be back in Portland. What are the chances the Blazers re-sign him? What's that going to look like?
I mean, the biggest thing for them is whether, you know, whether ownership is willing to pay him. Like, that's it. They can go as high as they want to. They have full bird rights on him. They can give him the max if they want to. Obviously, they shouldn't do that. But, like, whatever negotiation happens, it's all about them versus how much they want to spend on him. And if he wants to be back and they want him back and they're willing to pay for it, then there's no – it's not like the Rodney Hood or Seth Curry situations or even Enes Kanter where they are restricted in how much they can – they're literally restricted in how much they can offer these guys. Aminu is – the sky's the limit. The max is the limit. They can pay him whatever he wants. It's just about how much is ownership willing to go into the tax to keep this team around.
We can all sit around and say, hey, there's something wrong here. They don't have the talent. But I love on Early Bird Rights that you get into – some speculation about how some players might fit. You mentioned Marvin Williams. You say he'd be an interesting addition, especially if they're moving on from Aminu. What do you see there?
I mean, he's just sort of the offensive version of Al-Farouq Aminu. Aminu is a strong defender, but not an elite defender, and then sort of takes something off the table offensively. Marvin Williams is sort of the opposite of that. He is a strong shooter, but not like an elite shooter, and is a minus defensively, but not a huge minus. Just like Aminu is not a huge minus offensively, he's sort of the opposite version in that way. He's a really good shooter. He's going to, you know, help space the floor for Lillard and McCollum offensively. Things will flow better offensively when he's out there with those guys, you know. But trading for him is a little bit more difficult because they've got a match salary. You know, there would be some interesting machinations that would have to happen there, but he would be an interesting addition. You know, the fact that he's opted into his contract makes it a little bit more difficult to acquire him, but they could make a trade to make that happen. And I think he would be a good offensive fit, and the defensive stuff would have to, you know, they would have to make that up in some other way.
Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker in Houston, if they're really blowing that up, you wrote that the Blazers should be calling every 15 minutes to get a deal done. I love that.
I mean, they should be calling every 5 minutes. They should be calling every 30 seconds. Every time Morey hangs up the phone, they should call right back, because those guys would be so, so good for them. I mean, think about, PJ Tucker, if Al-Farouq Aminu is walking out the door, PJ Tucker is a much better version of Al-Farouq Aminu. He's a better defender. He's a better shooter. He's just everything that Al-Farouq Aminu is, but just better. And so, like, he would just seamlessly fit into this team. He's going to make less money than Aminu will next year with, you know, his contract's like $8 million or something. It's crazy the value that Tucker would bring to any team that's trying to win. If I were Houston, I would not be considering trading either one of those guys. But if things go wrong in Houston, as they sort of look like they might be, those guys would be, you know, particularly strong additions for Portland. You know, Eric Gordon can play the three, can play the two in certain situations. And so, you know, he's, you know, very strong, very burly, obviously a very good shooter, a high-level defender, somebody who can get to the rim, another, you know, guy you can throw the ball and let him go to work. So, you know, he would be a very good addition next to Lillard and McCollum if they can make that work. So, I mean, if Houston is willing to sell on those guys, it's not just Portland, but Portland should be on the phone as often as they possibly can.
You also mentioned Serge Ibaka. If Kawhi Leonard goes to the Clippers, it looks like, you know, there'd be some change in Toronto. That's a guy who fits, you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think he would be somebody who could play the same sort of role that he played for Toronto this past season, where he was the starting center throughout the year, and then Marc Gasol came in and they'd sort of started to move toward Marc Gasol, and then Marc Gasol was the starter for the entire playoff run, and obviously they won the title, so that worked out really well. Jusuf Nurkic is sort of in that same situation. They're not going to trade for Jusuf Nurkic, but they're going to get him back later in the year as he recovers from his injury. If Nurkic is not 100% and is not sort of where we expect him to be coming off of this injury, then you have Serge Ibaka as a starting caliber center to sort of take over for Nurkic. I think that's their biggest hole, you know, going into next season. Kanter's a free agent. Zach Collins and Myers Leonard, don't inspire a ton of confidence as a start a full-time starting center. But then Nurkic, you know, obviously with the injury, who knows, you know, where he's going to be when he comes back. So, you know, that's where I sort of thought Ibaka would be a nice stopgap in that particular circumstance.
I'm wrestling with the Blazers season and what to make of it. Again, we're talking to Jeff Siegel, earlybirdrights.com. But, you know, I think it was a really fun season. It was fun to cover. I think fans got into it. I think it was much needed in Portland, as you know. But I also am wrestling with the fact that you had, you know, you had the best teams on the other side of the bracket, and was it lined up for them? What should we make of this Blazers season? How far away are they from contending? How wide open is the West after the Davis trade, in your opinion?
I mean, I think the West is relatively wide open, especially because the Warriors are sort of, you would imagine they're going to take a step back with Thompson out until February or March, with Durant probably out the entire year, depending on whether even those guys come back or not. They don't have a lot of money to spend on other people. So you would imagine that Golden State, as sort of the kings in the West, are going to take a little bit of a step back. You know, Portland didn't fare particularly well against Golden State, even without Durant. So, like, how much confidence do you have if you're Portland that you can run back the same team and be better than a Golden State team that you know, basically trounced you even without Durant in the Western Conference Finals? You know, that's an open question. Obviously, the Lakers are going to be there with LeBron and Anthony Davis. You know, the Clippers may be there with Kawhi Leonard and whoever else they can put around him. Denver, of course, is still going to be quite good. Oklahoma City, Utah, all of these teams who are sort of in the Blazers tier. Obviously, the Blazers were able to beat a couple of those teams in the playoffs. So, but all of those teams are sort of clumped together behind, you know, the Lakers, perhaps, depending on how well that team fits together and what kind of role players they can bring in. And then, of course, Golden State, who, when they get Thompson back, will be able to sort of gear up for a playoff run. During the regular season, that team might not be as good because they're going to need to rest their big guys and they won't have Thompson and Durant. But once Thompson is able to get back into the flow of things, he's, you know, they're going to be a very formidable playoff opponent. Portland's sort of in that mix. They're in the mix of the sort of 3 through 6 in the West. I don't know that they can look at what has happened so far this offseason since they were bounced out of the playoffs and say that they should make some sort of big trade to get back into things. If they can, that would be, you know, that would be great if they can move Evan Turner and a couple of first round picks to get somebody who is, you know, going to, you know, be a high level, you know, player like CJ McCollum, basically, like on that same level where he's a, you know, top 30, top 20 kind of guy to pair with those guys. I mean, that would be ideal if they can find that guy available, but that's, you know, those players are few and far between.
The Anthony Davis trade, you know, the Lakers get the short term, they get Davis, they pair him with LeBron, Pelicans just get a pile of players and those picks and look to be okay. Is this truly a win-win in your opinion when you see that, you evaluate that trade?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think the Lakers got exactly what they wanted. They had to go for Anthony Davis this summer because, you know, you can't waste another year of LeBron's prime waiting for Davis to hit free agency. So they had that ticking time bomb of they needed to get this deal done this summer. The earlier, the better for, you know, for them for planning purposes. And then, you know, the Pelicans, of course, had the same sort of ticking time bomb of, you know, Davis is going to walk for nothing next year if they don't trade him. So they had the urgency to get that deal done. So when there was urgency on both sides were able to you know, come to the table with what they had to offer. And obviously the Lakers had all those young guys, all those picks, and the Pelicans had the crown jewel in Anthony Davis. I think both sides can walk away happy with it. Both sides can walk away with maybe a little bit of regret in that they could have gotten a little bit more. Obviously, you know, the Pelicans got a ton of different kinds of things, but they, you know, if they could have gotten an extra piece in Kyle Kuzma or whatever they wanted that they didn't get, there's that side of it. And then obviously the Lakers have the side of it that they, you know, they could have done better a little bit in terms of the value play, in terms of not giving up as much, you know, as much in the picks department, as much in Josh Hart, stuff like that. But, you know, from a big picture perspective, both teams really got what they wanted out of this deal.
All right, before I cut you loose, I'm going to jump back to the Supermax and Lillard because, you know, it's a complicated thing, and I think people struggle with it. Is there an advantage to the Blazers waiting, doing it sooner rather than later? I know that report came right out, and I was trying to decipher, you know, they extend Terry Stotts, they extend Neil Olshey. They leak out that Lillard's got that supermax, and they want to do it early. It felt to me like it was a little bit of public propaganda, like, hey, we've got some stability. Don't worry about ownership and that story that's going on in the background. What does going early with the supermax mean for the Blazers on the balance sheet?
I think it's actually better for them to go as early as possible on the supermax, because he's got 2 years left on his contract. The supermax will kick in 2021, but because of the rules surrounding these supermax extensions, the entire contract can't last more than 6 years total, including the 2 years that he has left. So that means you have 4 years of supermax time on the back end of the current contract that he's on, starting in 2021 and ending in 2025. If you wait a year, then you just have an extra year of supermax extension on the back end when Lillard is going to be a little bit older, is probably not going to be worth that contract in 2025-26. But if you do that earlier, then you can give him the supermax, and you can have all of the positive PR that comes from that, the positive vibes in the locker room with Lillard being a Blazer for life, basically, at that point. But then you only have to pay out the 4 years of the supermax rather than the full 5 years.
Today, Brooklyn declined to make a qualifying offer for Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He'll be an unrestricted free agent. Again, it would come down to the Blazers paying, but I'd like him for the roster.
Yeah, I mean, if Aminu is looking to walk away and they can't replace him with somebody more expensive than a guy like Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, taking a chance on him, he's a pretty solid defender. I think Aminu is better. Aminu is definitely a better outside shooter, but Hollis-Jefferson, draws a ton of fouls. Is somebody you can really give the ball to in on the block and let him go to work a little bit. He's not my favorite guy. I don't love, what he brings to the table, but if you don't have a lot of money to spend and you need a starting power forward who can do some of the things that Aminu was doing last year, I think Hollis-Jefferson would be a decent option.
Jeff Siegel, earlybirdrights.com. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Great stuff there. Some parting thoughts on Bol Bol and more next. Leave it right here. You got the Bald-Faced Truth statewide on the BFT Radio Network. It's been a great radio show. Make sure you get a podcast by going to Apple Podcasts, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play. Wherever you get a podcast, you can get a podcast of the Bald Faced Truth Radio Show. And in fact, I appreciate everybody who makes this show part of their day. It's important to us to be here for you. And I feel like we've been super informative at times, and maybe we've been fun at times. And certainly, I think if there's breaking news and there's something big going on, we're here. But we're here for you Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. And I'm on demand on the podcast. So if you are somebody who misses anything in any of the shows, you can just go to the podcast and get it. And if you're listening on the podcast, subscribe. Reach out and make a commitment. Come on, we make a commitment every day. We don't charge you for this. It's free. Just make a commitment to this radio show. Subscribe to the podcast so it's there for you. Also, give us a rating. Give us a review. Your reviews and ratings help other people find the podcast. I appreciate everybody who does that and gives us a review. Alabama Adriana does a cartwheel literally every time somebody gives the radio show a review. It's been a really good show. We've talked. I thought the last segment with Early Bird Rights co-founder was fascinating, because it's really easy to say something's wrong, to throw out, hey, the Blazers roster needs to improve, without throwing out any real context around the roster and any real solutions. So I love that we have some solutions on today's show. If you missed any of that, grab a podcast of that one as well. Column I posted this morning on Bol Bol. I am fascinated by Oregon's Bol Bol. And can you call him an Oregon Duck? I mean, he was there for 9 games. But it's evident to me, and maybe to the rest of us, that the NBA teams value their draft picks. They do not mess around with their draft picks. And years ago, in front of the draft, the Trailblazers hired a high-profile investigative firm to conduct an investigation on Zach Randolph. Now, they liked Randolph as a player. They weren't looking for more reasons to draft Zach Randolph. They were looking for reasons to stay away from drafting Zach Randolph. Is there anything risky in his past? And there was some juvenile criminal stuff. There was a gun possession charge. There was a shoplifting charge. And so the Blazers hired this firm who had two ex- FBI agents go out and talk to neighbors and friends and coaches and teachers and his principal in high school. And the background check, which I have, got into his gun charge, his driving record, which happened to be clean, and it dug up the Walmart loss prevention citation from Randolph when he was 14. I mean, you think things don't matter. You think teams don't do their homework. I've got, you know, several hundred pages of files here from this report that show you that they went back to like age 12 with Zach Randolph and started looking at what he was up to, who he surrounded himself with. And keep in mind, his dad was incarcerated, his uncle was incarcerated, and his brother was incarcerated at the time that the Blazers drafted him. You're talking about a support system for Zach Randolph that was essentially non-existent. And it made sense. Like, as we got to know him, he was immature. He was a follower. I think he had a good spirit, sort of a likable spirit. He was a really good basketball player. If the Blazers had put tons of structure, or NBA team and whoever drafted Zach Randolph had put structure around him, I think he would be fine. And I think for the most part he was, until later in his career, or just points of his career where he has friends around him. I think when he really got into being kind of the family man Zach Randolph when he was in Memphis for a stretch, I think you saw a settled down Zach Randolph. But a lot of questions about Bol Bol, and I am fascinated by him. Let's go down the list, the laundry list of Bol Bol. And on Thursday, he'll be at the Barclays Center. He will be part of the NBA draft show. Somebody's going to pick him in the first round. But I talked to three NBA teams in the last 2 weeks who have serious questions about Bol Bol. And they reached out. They wanted to know. They don't want to know what I think of him as a player. They just want to know, how did he conduct himself? I mean, they're talking to everybody, you know, all the way back to his high school teachers, and he went to three different high schools. It's kind of an interesting task that these teams take on. And so they're kind of at the point where they're reaching out to the sports columnist who barely spent any time with Bol Bol. You know, they've gotten everybody. I'm not sure I helped, because we barely saw him. He's long. He's a great shooter. He's got some skills. He's got a good handle for a young big guy, but he's not at all strong. He's fragile. And defensively, he struggled with basic concepts. You could see it in the early part of his time at Oregon. Now, the staff at Oregon will tell you they thought, hey, we're breaking through with him defensively, but that's what we saw in 9 games. The big thing with Bol Bol is that people are fascinated by him. He's 7'2". He's got potential. But the biggest question for him, and I think the reason why some NBA teams are hitting the pause button on Bol Bol, is his motor. Engaged, focused. When he's those things, he's terrific. But the rest of the time, he appears to kind of float through games, appears not to care, like, you know, as if the rest of us should just be honored we're getting to see him play. Two of the three NBA teams that I talked with told me that they had been in contact with teachers and staff at his three high schools as part of their research. That's fascinating to me, because he's gone to three different high schools. So you have NBA teams that are reaching back to Bol Bol's high school teachers that had him for like a semester and saying, what was he like? Because they have the biggest reference point, because he's jumped around so much, because he only played 9 games at Oregon, because he was an AAU guy that kind of found his way through things that nobody...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.